Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Toad, we got some heat. We got a little bit of heat going on. I'm going to get to this Cavs injury thing and the conservatism here in just a moment. We'll hear from Joe Vardon again. We got Dan Dockage at 8:22. So the Nick Chubb saga continues. See, guys, this is why I don't say a lot of stuff. This is why it's like, okay, I don't break news. I never have been a news breaker. This isn't even news. I tell you guys what I hear. You guys ought to hear the things I don't tell you. One day. Nah, probably not.
So you don't like it that many people last week tagged it with reports and your name?
Yeah, I didn't care. The mute button's a beautiful thing.
Well, it sounded like news was being broke.
So a longtime NFL scouting guy, a 9-year scouting director, 30-plus years in the NFL, Greg Gabriel, tweeted this. Somebody tweeted this at me. I saw it during the break, and I was like, oh, Tone, we got to bring this up. Greg Gabriel says, the Nick Chubb rumors came from a radio show host in Cleveland. He said, NFC North, not Bears. He may have been making the whole thing up! 2 exclamation points. One account known for making things up said Chubb visited Friday. No, he did not. Last week, Pohl said in a radio interview that if they were to add a running back, it won't be until camp. All on staff want to see the current group through OTAs. There are currently 6 running backs under contract. That's more than enough for camp. Let's stop the unnecessary noise. First off, I don't think that Nick Chubb is a bunch of unnecessary noise. You want distractions, buddy. I will show you distractions. Second of all, I can't speak for whatever. I didn't say anything about him visiting on Friday. That sure as hell never passed these lists, and I didn't see anything to it.
That would have been a big deal.
Yeah, I never saw anything to it. So that, I don't know nothing about that. The only thing I can say is I didn't make up a damn thing. I didn't make up a damn thing.
Well, now it's going to look like,
Kenny.
Buddy
boy, I don't know you.
Greg Gabriel is apparently very, very influential in the football scouting community.
That's fine.
He put that tweet out, and do you want to know some of the individuals that follow him that saw that tweet?
That's fine.
Ripping you? That was Ian Rappaport, Michael Lombardi, Charles Robinson, Sean Salisbury, Nathan Zagura. Albert Breer, you're going to have a lot of people asking some questions about why Ken Carmen is making stuff up.
Because I didn't know.
This Greg Gabriel is clearly reputable in the NFL community.
Say whatever you want. He can say, this is Twitter. It's the Wild West. You can say whatever you want to. They're all brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, by the way.
Adam Schein, Sam Monson. Sam Monson's going to come away with this tweet.
Okay.
He's going to think that Ken Carmen's making stuff up in Cleveland.
I had to respond. Oof. I said, hello, Greg. It's me. I did not make anything up. I never have. Have a great day. That's where I intend to leave it now. I'm not going to get in some war of words. I should say I did not say anything about him visiting the Bears on Friday.
Yeah.
I did not know anything about that, and I never claimed any of that.
Evan Silva, Jeff Shadell follows him.
What's that going to do with the
Jeff
price of fish?
Joniak?
Jeff
and I love Jeff Joniak.
Jeff and I follow each other, so now Jeff's going to wake up and
He's
see all
cyclone.
This.
He's a cyclone.
He is.
I mean, Kenny, how do you rebound and repair the damage to your reputation?
Is there damage to a reputation? I've always called myself a carnival barker, but at the same time, I don't lie about anything I said, damn it. Was not a lie. There's not why would I make things up about Nick Chubb
and
a team in the NFC North, specifically the Bears, being interested in Nick Chubb? Why would I make that up?
Text Mike Lombardi.
I'm on it.
Because
right
I feel bad because now he's not going to want to come on the show.
Mike Lombardi, I don't think, is going to be going on a lot of radio shows lately because he knows what he's going to be asked about, and he knows he can't talk about it.
Dear Mr. Lombardi.
Don't. It ain't going to happen.
I mean, Daniel Jeremiah, I feel like we got to do damage control now.
What are you talking about, damage control?
Rappaport.
I mean, you're one of our leading men here at the station, and you've got reputable guys around the NFL questioning your integrity.
No, I have. First off, this guy didn't know who I was. All right? I specified to him, and that's where I plan on leaving it.
Joel Corey follows him, and Alonzo Highsmith.
Mark Dominic.
Producer of the Jim Rome Show, Tom D. Benedetto.
I haven't talked to Tom in a few years. Tom's a good guy.
Tyler
Phil
Dunn.
Still. It's probably going to be in his book.
Oh, no. This will be in the book. Kenny, take care of this. Issue a retraction or something. No! You got to do something. We're floundering.
Just do it real quick, I didn't make up a damn thing. No, I'm not.
We're not
going to
be.
No, we're moving on.
Quick retraction.
We're moving on. There's no retraction to make. I
just
didn't make anything up.
Just do it real quick, and then we can move on.
I didn't make up anything.
There you go.
So there's no point in me having a retraction if I didn't make anything up. I didn't make up a damn thing, Owen.
Did you hear that noise?
I didn't go shooting my mouth off trying to tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry that Nick Chubb, that the Bears or a team in the NFC North was interested in Nick Chubb.
Talkers 100. We're gone.
See ya.
We were never in.
No longer heavy hitters.
We were never heavy hitters.
Great.
Now I got a DM from Jason Barrett wondering what's going on over there. He's getting messages.
Okay, fine. But I'm not. I didn't.
Who's in charge over there?
They're going to be talking about this at the sports.
There's no retraction. There's no retraction at all. And I'm not going to have a retraction.
And where is the media conference being held this year, Anthony?
In Chicago.
That's a big damn conspiracy.
You better go. You better
go
and take care of this.
I got bigger things I got to do. We got baseball games. Well, maybe if the rain ever holds off. It's really annoying. We keep getting rained out.
Got more news to break.
They had like a 30-minute practice yesterday. I'm like, I'll get there right after TV. No point in coming, Ken. We saw lightning in the area. Calling it a day. Excellent. We have not played a game yet this season because of the rain.
Why does anybody pay the money for these leagues? It's spring in Cleveland.
At least I'm not in travel ball. That's the only thing I can say. People are paying $1,400. We're playing in an indoor facility at some point here. Lord almighty. Kyle in Cleveland, what is this? Hello, Kyle.
Look, you know, I really rely on 92.3 The Fan to give me accurate information. And one of the main personalities is spreading rumors. I'm just really questioning.
I ain't spreading rumors.
I'm
spreading
on this channel.
And I'm glad you are. Thank you very much, Kyle. But let me tell you, how many times do I try to go out there and say any of these things of what I'm hearing? I don't make up crazy trade rumors. I've never made up anything in my life when it comes to this stuff. And trust me, it ain't always on one source. This guy can say whatever he wants, and I respect this guy. I got no problem with this guy named Greg. I just don't want him thinking I'm making anything up because I won't make up a damn thing. You think I'm going to sit there and try to upset Browns fans and say that a team in the NFC North is interested in Nick Chubb? You think that was my prerogative? Hell no, Kyle. That ain't my prerogative.
Kyle, are we in damage control right now?
Oh, I'm just incredibly disappointing.
Oh, bullshit.
What's Kyle supposed to do when his
young son
comes to him and goes, Papa, where will Nick Chubb play next year? And Kyle's going to go, well, I heard from Ken Carmen on the radio. Yep. He's going to Chicago.
And now you see this tweet from Kirk over at Buckeye Scoop. He's wondering what the hell's going on in Cleveland.
I will not be addressing that. There are some things that you can bait me with, and it ain't going to be that.
I hope Schefter, this doesn't get on his radar.
Once I say it once, you're going to get it again, brother. Here we get the mic on the road. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, Ken.
Hi.
Hey. Sorry for your brother. I got a source, though, that told me that Nick Chubb...
What are you sorry for me for? What are you talking about?
My brother's friend that's a friend of his, told me that Nick Chubb is going to be the next running back coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Running back coach.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I mean, look, we have a responsibility as a station to put out accurate material. And here on X, Casa Migos Joe says, this is a type of thing that gets people doxxed for. Ken, please retract.
Just put out a statement real quick.
Yeah, be careful here.
Now I'm getting texts about other trade rumors that are thrown out there.
Tread carefully.
There's another radio show host in Cleveland. Thank you very much for listening. I can't even put out the pig Latin for him to be, because I don't want anybody to know. See, I hold back on things I don't want people to know about. That's the way that works.
Things you want people in other cities to see, you put that out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not made up. It's the truth.
All right.
It's the truth. Okay, so three separate sources? Four, technically, are making it all up to tell me, let's get Ken Carmen. No, that's not how that worked. No. I'm not that important, sir. No. 216-474-0092.
It didn't bother me.
The amount of
get
people
off your phone.
They're saying Schefter's trying to get in.
Trying to get in on what?
He's trying to figure out, get to the bottom of this story.
Whatever. Hell with it.
Just quickly, you got like a minute. Just put out a quick statement.
There's no statement to put out.
Just do it quickly, Ken.
Read the tea leaves, everybody.
Oh, and respond in the station account. Pelissaro okay. DM'd us. Can you get back to him?
Go back and listen to the Jason Lloyd interview. There's certain operative words that Jason said. Go back and watch ESPN from last week during one of their midday shows. There's certain operative words. There was a whole argument made by a former NFL. Was he a former NFL general manager? Was Lewis Riddick a former NFL general manager?
I thought he was an assistant.
Okay.
Assistant GM.
All due respect to Lewis Riddick. Not taking any shots at him. But here not comes. Taking any shots at Lewis Riddick. I just wanted to make sure I get it all right.
Going to dig deeper.
There's nothing to dig deep. It's there.
Listen, when we had the Tucker story.
He's a free agent. He could sign with the Toronto Argonauts for all I care.
I'm just saying.
I don't care about that. You get what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, when we had the Tucker story years before anybody else, we made sure we vetted our sources and everything.
That one guy wanted you fired. That one sports writer over there, what was his name? Jonas some? He wanted you canned for it.
I mean, that was a vicious holdout situation they averted at the 11th hour.
I'm in the pickup line, and all of a sudden I see this and go, he never said. I don't remember what you said, but that guy wanted you canned. It's like we're going a little far on this, aren't we? Listen, I'm not necessarily Bob Woodward over here, but I am not going to deny that I had four separate people. Four. So you can say whatever you want and make up a damn thing. I hope you got what you know, damn it. I hope you got what you wanted.
And more guys want to get in on
this. We got Dan Dockage coming up at 8:20. No. Mike in South Euclid. Stop taking calls instead of me. Mike in South Euclid. Hello.
Ken, my six-year-old saw your tweet and has been crying ever since. Now I got to walk this back. You're telling me right now I got to walk this back, Kenny?
Come
on
now. No, you don't.
Crying for days.
No, you don't. I didn't mean to make your son cry, and I'm sorry about that.
Why are you making it up? Come on,
I didn't make up a damn thing, Mike. It's all the truth.
Kenny.
What?
You're going to send him to the four people who told you? Ooh, I got to walk this back? No, he's been crying for
days. I ain't walking back a thing. I ain't walking back a thing. All those tears are not in vain, I hate to tell you.
Ken, six-year-old tears are all on your shoulders. I just want to let you know that, okay? Wrong information. I need the right information, Kenny.
He's going to have to grow up at some point, but that's the right information. That's the right information, Mike. Thank you for the call.
People don't trust the lame stream media. Things like this.
Yep.
Tom Pelissaro right now.
Dan Dockage going to join us on the show at 8:22.
Like he's even going to come on now after this.
Let's bring in Dan Dockage. He joins us from Outkick at Dan Dockage on Twitter. Cavs take on the Indiana Pacers tonight, game two of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Dan Dockage joins us again on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Dan Dockage, how the hell are you?
I am beautiful. It's a beautiful day in Indy. I'm ready to do a cold plunge as soon as I'm done here because my old ass needs less swelling. And the Pacers play tonight. They're up. Cleveland appears to be hurt. Life is good.
It's not good for us. I felt worse. I saw Boston lose, and then I saw Oklahoma City lose, and I'm like, man, I feel even worse because we got guys hurt. Like, I felt like if we were at full strength, we could beat both those teams, and I'm like, I don't know if we can get through Indiana with these injuries.
You know, Indiana's good. You know, one of the things that was surprising to us was they played defense, particularly late. They don't do that normally. And I was texting with the GM, Kevin Pritchard. He's a friend. He's like, look, he goes, Cleveland is damn good and damn tough. You know, the series is just getting started. The injuries are going to factor, obviously. But the Pacers are a good basketball team. And, you know, one of the things about the Pacers, it's a little bit like the NBA used to be, and Cleveland's in this situation too. You know, you keep the core group together and you pound away at it. You know, like, you know, Michael had to beat Detroit. You know, Pacers to get to the finals, it could never beat the Knicks, that kind of thing. And, you know, and both of these teams, Cleveland and the Pacers, are like that. But I'm not going to lie to you, fellas, and I'm speaking for, you know, as many fans as I know anyway. We were shocked from the 7-minute mark when they were down one to the 3-minute mark when we went up about six. We were shocked at the defense. It just, you know, every time you talk about the Pacers, hey, man, great offensive team. Love Halliburton coming into his own. Very underrated as opposed to overrated. But we didn't see that defense coming, and hope it continues, if you're a Pacer fan.
Dan, it's the fact that, you know, right now, Indiana, their team that has playoff experience last year, say what you want about the run and who they played, Eastern Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals. And I noticed being there in the gym the other night that they had a confidence about them. They were not worried about a one seed or a 64-win team. And I think you saw that play out. And what amazed me the most, Dan, is that they absorbed that cavalanche, they call it here, the huge run in the third quarter. And they took that and had a counterpunch, and they settled in there in the fourth. That was what amazed me about that performance.
Yeah, that's a good observation, because it is a confident team. It is. It really is. And, you know, that's Siakam. The trade to bring Siakam over is one of the great trades in Pacers history. And I've said Kevin Pritchard is one of the great GMs. The moves he has made, the pickup of Nembhard. You know, Nembhard, I think, was the 31st, 32nd player picked in the draft. And we went through it yesterday on my show in the afternoon here in Indy. We went through who was picked before him. And if you redraft, I always kind of like when people say, hey, let's redraft the draft and how they play. That kid is phenomenal, and he's phenomenal in exactly what you said. He's tough as hell. He's confident as hell. But the whole thing last year and really the extension to this year is Siakam. He is just a pro's pro, a calm dude, a good dude. I don't know if he's ever been an all-star. I have no idea. But you take him on your team late in the fourth quarter. And no, you're exactly right. The playoff experience, regardless of who it was against, propelled this team. Got off to a bad start, bunch of injuries, ton of injuries. Hell, I went to one of the first games, but before early December, late November, they were so bad, but they were playing with guys, you know, Nesmith was out, Nembhard was out, Halliburton was in and out, and they're together and they're good. They're legit good. They play anybody.
Dan Dockett's joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Donovan Mitchell only played 34 minutes in game one. We know he's labored in the past. It looked like he was tired in game one. We got some injuries. Are the Cavaliers maybe too conservative with injuries?
Well, I'll say this. It's you always do this as a player, and you always do this as a coach, right? You like when the star player of the other team is out. And that's like my daughter says to me all the time, duh, you know, when I say something stupid. But you play into the other team's hands. I mean, let's make no mistake. Kenny Atkinson's great coach of the year, all that kind of stuff. Hey, Donovan Mitchell statistically is one of the great playoff performers of his generation, maybe of any generation. So, hell, from a Pacers standpoint, keep his ass out. If you really watch him, and now this is me being old, okay? This is me being, oh, Dockett, Bobby Knight, blah, 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 blah. But if you really watch an NBA game, you really watch how much standing around players do. It's a lot. It's not like everybody's running a motion offense and everyone's cutting off screens and going to set a screen and getting banged up. No. Dudes stand around a lot. So when I hear players say, well, I played 42 minutes. I'm like, really? 42 minutes out of a 24-hour day? 42 minutes, how many times did you actually run? How many times were you standing in the corner? How many times were you standing on defense? How many times were you standing at the free throw line? You got a timeout every four or five, whatever it is, minutes. I know that makes me old. I know that makes me, you know, out of touch. I understand load management, but it's BS. You got to play 40 minutes. You got to play 45 minutes if you're a damn superstar. I mean, what are we paying you for? I mean, what are we paying for? You beat the Clippers in the middle of, what, January? My ass. You play.
Well, Dan, tell me if I'm making an excuse here, which that's going to be a drop now. My ass. Tell me if I'm making an excuse, because he played 34 minutes. I'm going, well, nobody else is really scoring. He's the only one scoring. And then, I don't know, maybe is he like out of game shape for the playoffs? Because if you look at the Cavs' schedule, which, hey, I know you're covering the Pacers primarily over there, right? But still,
yeah, right.
They're blowing everybody out during the regular season, because all these other teams, a lot of these other teams ain't trying. They're getting ready for Cancun. They want to lose. And he's not playing in the second half of a lot of these games because they're up by 25 at halftime.
You even think this is nuts, but I knew my own body when I was in high school. Like, I knew, okay, I'm going to go run the halls of Andre. You don't really get in shape playing the games. You get in shape on your off days. What are you doing? Like, are you in the gym? Are you resting? Are you doing all that stuff? You know, I mentioned a cold plunger. Are you doing all that stuff that Kobe does, that did, LeBron did, you know, to make sure you're never, ever out of shape? You know, if you're not playing, are you running extra? That's what you do as a pro. That's professional basketball. Actually, the hell, that was Indiana basketball. I mean, I remember when I wasn't playing, and there was a lot of times I wasn't playing. I made sure I ran the stairs. I made sure, you know. So I don't buy that. I know what you're saying. I get it. And I get it's a long season. Everybody's concerned about load management and making sure we're, quote, fresh. Well, I mean, in theory, you should be fresher for the playoffs because you've had enough rest. If you're doing your work, which I assume he is, because Mitchell's a great dude. You know, he is. And I'm sure he'll play 48 minutes a night, score 60 points. And, you know, we'll look back on this conversation and go, well, we missed on that one. But I don't know. I don't buy it. I really don't. They're professionals, man. I don't think professionals aren't out of shape. Slappies are, but professionals aren't.
Dan Dockett joining us on the hotline. Physicality in the NBA playoffs, it's always a story every year. The games are officiated in a much different way come playoff time. What is the line? And if you're a coach, like Kenny Atkinson, he was very nice about the Pacers in game one, said they didn't do anything intentional, they weren't doing anything dirty, but he wasn't happy with the results of a few of those plays, one of which DeAndre Hunter getting fouled and then really, really tweaking, you know, a finger on his shooting hand, which could be a factor the rest of the series. Like, how do you go about that as a head coach this time of the year?
If you remember, first, I thought the non-call on Mathurin's block was ridiculous. I thought Mathurin, whose head was at the rim, by the way, caught the ball. But, my God, it was assault below the ball. You know, you remember going back, you know, you plant the seed. Remember Pat Riley and Van Gundy and all those guys, Phil Jackson, going back and forth, talking to the media about the officiating and all. That seems to be the NBA way of what you do. You know, you can't lose your mind in a game because, you know, you get a couple technicals. Next thing you know, you lose by a couple. You want to drink strychnine all night and, you know, call it a life if you cost your team a game. You feel that bad. But the truth is, you got to do it in the media, at least in the NBA. You know, you got to talk about, you know, I didn't like that. You don't call them out. And if you got to take a fine, you got to take a fine. But that's the way it's always seemingly been done. I mean, you guys remember. Hell, it seemed like Pat Riley and Van Gundy and Phil Jackson and those guys were always whining at the media. And then the next game, there'd be a call or two. And, you know, we'd all say, see, it works. See, it shouldn't work. See, it's, you know, whatever you thought. But that's what you got to do. I don't know that the Pacers are an overly physical team. You know, I mean, like Miles Turner is big. I mean, when you're next to Miles Turner, he's massive, but he generally stays at the three-point line. And when he gets it in the post, pretty much fades away. This isn't like Smiths and the Davis brothers, that kind of thing, you know, with our test back in the day. It's not like that. So I don't know. You know, injuries are unfortunate, obviously, but I don't know that this is an overly physical. I certainly know it's not a nasty Pacer team. It's just not. And as the series goes on, they might get chippy. Mathurin will definitely get mouthy. Halliburton will get mouthy. But it's not a, you know, it's not a 90s or 80s. Whatever. It's just not. And unfortunately, because I love DeAndre Hunter, I think he's one of my favorite basketball players. Always has been since the Virginia days. I hope he's back. I do.
Last night, the Boston Celtics, they fell in their series. They gave up home court advantage. They also took 63-point shots. Dan, they won a title doing this last year. If you are Missoula, or right now, if you're in radio in Boston, would you be criticizing him in that approach, or do you think it's now tested and it's still the formula is right?
Yeah, I have a hard time because of their line or their roster. You know, you think about their roster when LeBron was here. You know, James Jones in the corner, guys. You know, even going way back, Danielle Marshall in the corner. You set your team up, you know, around your talent. But to your point, it was kind of unwatchable. I mean, the game was great, don't get me wrong, but their offense was kind of unwatchable. It was kind of like, all right, I'm going to shoot it. No, I don't have it. I'm going to give it to you. Well, you dribble and shoot it. I would imagine the thing you're going to see Boston do more is what, you know, everybody calls get 2 feet in the paint before you do anything, meaning either throw it on the block, drive it, you know, curl, get the ball, something to shrink the defense a little bit, because they have great shooters, and Derek White is unbelievable, right? I mean, he's like, holy cow, where'd this guy come from? But, man, it was too much. And I'm not saying they've got the greatest post guys, and I know they're set up that way, but that was too much. And frankly, if you're going to – I think they're the favorite. I think they're a heavy favorite in my mind. Maybe not as much now because they lost the game, but I'd still make them the favorite. But if you're going to win – or excuse me, if you're going to lose, and you could lose 4 games doing what they did last night. You know, I always say this, like when LeBron was in Cleveland, in Indiana, we're going to beat LeBron, and when he was in – you know, Miami, I'd always say, well, you got to beat them 4 games, you know, in 2 weeks. It's not like beating them in December, not like beating them in January. You got to beat them 4 games in 2 weeks. So they're going to stick with what they do because it works. But if they're going to lose 4 games or 3 games now in 2 weeks, that's the formula for losing. Just jacking up threes. And look, you make them, you're going to win. But jacking up bad threes, and when it's a bad three as opposed to taking a two, going to the rim, setting yourself up or somebody else up, if you're going to jack bad threes, you could lose. If they don't jack bad threes and they do what I just said, they're not going to lose that series even though they're down one. But if they keep doing that, there's a real chance they could lose that series, because New York is tough. New York, Anunoby is really good. Brunson, obviously, but you know, Bridges ain't afraid to make a shot. Hart ain't afraid to make a shot. I saw it for myself last year. If healthy, they're damn good.
Dan, we thank you very much for the time. It was glorious. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, fellas. Thank you.
It was good to talk to Dan about physicality, because he's like a relic from the age of when everybody thinks they remember the NBA growing up and how physical it was. And then you flip on some of the old games in the 80s, and then there are games, just like any other league of basketball, there are games where nobody's playing defense and nobody's physical. And then there are the ones that you remember, the playoff games between Detroit and whatever, where it was a war. And I don't think you want basketball to become that too. Here's what I wonder about tonight. If the Cavs are short-handed, what is the mindset? What does Kenny Atkinson preach of the mindset to the Cavs team? Because it's one thing to say, hey, we need to match physicality of the other team. They were more physical than us in the opener, but they were also not only more physical, they got down the floor faster. They beat you down the floor. You were late in your closeouts. You know, I hate to use the term lazy, but even Atkinson and other players, they were like, yeah, we were not crossing our T's and dotting the I's in this game. But when you're shorthanded, can you preach physicality, or is that a tough thing to do?
Yes, because I think it's the last bastion of what it is to win. When a team is wounded, I think other guys come in. It's like, okay, what do you have? You don't have the skill that some of the other guys do. If you're forced into a starting role, it's like you gotta be good at something. Like Isaac Okoro, God bless him. This is gonna be a terrible analogy, because everybody's down on Isaac Okoro. Isaac Okoro has no confidence in his shot. I think nobody has any confidence in his shot. I don't think he's a very good shooter. I don't think a lot of people disagree with that. So what's Isaac Okoro going to do well? Isaac Okoro is going to try to play great defense. Isaac Okoro is going to run around and try to create turnovers, be a pest to people. He's going to try to do what he can do to be an impact. So now it's when I ask somebody else, what do you bring to the table? Well, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, to a degree, Sam, like they bring something to the table that is scoring is what you need. But if you're now down to different people, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to get out of you? How can I stretch it to get out of you? So then all of a sudden things become more violent because then you'll get frustrated. The Cavs are the favorite. They're a 9-point, 8.5-point favorite tonight. So what can they do? But I do, you know, I got to wonder this, and this is going to be something that's a talking point, especially, God, if they lose tonight and you go down 2-0 in this series, you know, this is going to be something that's going to be brought up tomorrow, and it's going to be brought up for a lot of people, because I think if they lose tonight, for a lot of people, the series is done. If they go down 2-0 and you got Evan Mobley, who's questionable to doubtful tonight, and we don't know what Darius Garland's status is completely, if one of those guys are out, you go down 2-0. I think a lot of people are going to be down in the dumps tomorrow morning.
Well, they will be. They will be. And yes, we are going to get a lot of calls saying the season's over. What was the point of all this? Damn you for getting us excited. Like, I never understand that one.
Well, I
don't. But in this series, like,
they won 64 games. I'm going to get you excited. They win 64 games next year. I'm going to get excited, too.
Look, what did we say at the start of the series? Like, there's going to be time between game two and game three for rest. And yes, today it feels, Kenny, we haven't done the hacky, and we're not beyond it because we've done it before. Is it a must-win game? And obviously today we're all saying must-win, and then if they lose, we're like, well, they got to win 4 out of 5. It's not going to be easy. But are you getting healthier later in the series? That is going to be the fine line and the balancing act I think the Cavs are going to have there, and their organization are going to have to think about before this game. Like, Darius Garland's going to come out and go through his warm-up, and we're all going to be sitting there wondering, is he going to be available tonight or not? And do they push it? Not an easy team to have to run up and down the court with if you're laboring. So there's still a lot about this that I don't know how confidently or not confidently to think about
well,
tonight.
Well, should we just go for the gusto? Because here's Joe Vardon from The Athletic yesterday on Afternoon Drive about how conservative the Guardians, the Cavaliers, are with their injuries.
When you think about injury philosophy and how they deal with injuries from team to team, I believe the Cavs to be among the more conservative teams in the league when it comes to injury management. I think that endears them to their players. They give you the room that you need to be healthy before you return. But I want everybody to know that, because when you get to now and you don't have the time to do this, there may not be the experience, I guess, of like having to play through stuff. And so now you've got a situation where whatever happens with Darius Garland tomorrow night, we know he's not right. Mobley, DeAndre, these are new injuries. Donovan, like what he's dealing with, like they're going to have to go. What I'm saying is maybe this team, they aren't as tested when it comes to having to play through the injury. And now they have to.
Are we too conservative when it comes to the injuries as an organization? I think in a lot of ways they've had to, and I've had a lot of people, I brought this up earlier for just a moment, and a lot of people said, whoa, you're making a big fat excuse. I thought, well, I think we're a little bit angered right now by the situation, and I think a lot of us are talking tough. It's easy. One of the worst things you can call a team is soft. I'm not going to call the Cavs soft. I don't think I can do that.
The Cavs have been called that in recent years.
They have been. And I think it's been something that's bothered them. But damn it, like when you get to this time, all right, you have a small backcourt. There's only so much you can do. Donovan Mitchell cannot go to the rim anytime you need a bucket for an entire series the way LeBron did. It's not possible when you got when you have 6'9 going up against 6'9, yeah, it's possible. When you have 6'9, 260 going up against 6'9, yeah, it was possible. When you had the greatest player of the generation. But you have Donovan Mitchell, who's a really, really, really good player, perennial all-star, an MVP caliber type of player, but damn it, he's only 6'3. You are hurting yourself the more you send him through. I don't know why he was gassed in 34 minutes. I brought that up to Dan Dockage. Dan was not going to have that. Earlier in the segment. So I tried to make an excuse for the 34 minutes. I guess I can't make an excuse for the 34 minutes. So now I have to go to game two, and I thought maybe Kenny was going to soft pedal bit on Donovan because of game two coming around. He knew he was going to need him.
He can play more minutes. If he plays 40, you also got to understand there's going to be a level of coasting. That was the brilliance of LeBron in the playoff games, is that he'd play in all of them, he would feel out, especially in the first quarter, and pick his spots. Because none of these guys, I don't care who you are, can go 42 minutes in a playoff game and go balls to the walls the entire game. That's just not feasible. So that's another thing to keep your eye on tonight.